This is Short-Term Rental Management, the show that is all about short-term rental property management, with your host, yours truly, Luke Carl. Short-Term Rental Management with Luke. Happy Tuesday. I love you. Today we're going to talk about parenting, planning for the future, how we can keep the family first in this journey of real estate investing, because really that's why we're in it, right? That's how you get into this, to make a better future. My kids are out of school. It's on my mind right now. So today we're going to talk about parenting and choices for our children in the world of real estate investing on Short-Term Rental Management. Short-Term Shop Plus has live and recorded sessions on the following topics: creating compelling listings, marketing your STR property, setting up a new listing, managing from a distance, finding and acquiring your first or next STR, live revenue management audits with the pros, analyzing an STR for gross revenue. All of this and much, much more is now available at your fingertips with Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know to have success in the world of vacation homes and STR. Please join us at stsconsultation.com. That's stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com to learn more. Welcome to the program, Parenting. Keeping the kids first is what the name of the game is today. And my co-parent keeps making cracks about my office. So I think there's probably going to be a change in my office soon, which I'm not excited about. I like my simple little office with these beautiful, these are like, you know, sound acoustic panels, which are, they're very nice. I got high-end acoustic panels, but boss keeps making fun of my office. I guess I need some cool, hip black plastic on the walls like she has. Yes, I'm calling you out. Not that she's going to hear about it, but of course, you guys know I'm talking about Avery. And I love her to death, and we are raising kids together. And the kids are out of school, which is what triggered this. You know, I'm very sad. My daughter's just finished kindergarten. They're out for the summer, and it's awesome, but it does break my heart a little bit. And you know, that's the deal. We got to be in this to make a better future. The time is just flying by. I'm covered in gray. I'm full of gray hair. And I don't know how it happened. You wake up one day and you're sitting there thinking like, man, I wish I could have my 20s back. But life is good. Life is wonderful. And we do need to keep, you know, these decisions in mind when it comes to our money and our finances. I'm a first generation millionaire. That's another thing that is a heavy, heavy deal in my life. I have that poor people guilt. It's there. It's never going away. And you get better at dealing with it over time. I think there's a lot of folks that understand what I'm talking about, and that's why the Short-Term Shop is here. That's how we were created, to help hardworking people make good decisions with their money. You know, I came from very, very humble beginnings, and we shoe shopped at the discount shoe store, and most of my childhood was at Sam's Club. You know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it was great. You know, my family was never, you know, we were never in need, but it was never glamorous. You know, I grew up in a very modest house in the middle of a cornfield, and great memories, but I do have that blue collar guilt. I've got it. You know, I was not meant to be wealthy according to, you know, the universe and my family. And a lot of times we feel like we have to, you know, find new friends and move. Or I did. I felt I had to move to go become the person I wanted to be. I felt that I could not do it in the small. Now, could I have gotten into real estate in my small little town back home and done well? Probably. But then, you know, everybody talks about you. Oh, that's the mailman's kid, and he's out there buying houses, and he thinks he's so cool. I had this experience happen to me recently, actually. I bought and sold a home. It was a farm in Alabama. I just did it kind of for fun. We didn't originally plan to flip it, but we ended up flipping it and did pretty well on it. And it was in a teeny tiny little town. And I asked a guy that was working for me if, you know, for any updates, how things were going with the new owner. And he was basically like, oh, that new owner thinks he's so cool. And he's, you know, he used to not have any money and now he's got a bunch of real estate and he thinks he's better than everybody else. And I'm sitting there like, he probably doesn't, you know, he probably just lives in a small town where people talk too much. And so, you know, that's where I come from. And that's where I get that guilt from. And the first generation millionaire thing is it's difficult. It is really difficult. It's fairly, you know, I like to, again, I equate a lot of things to weight loss, but it's like almost like you're a chubby person living your life as a skinny person, which I feel that way a lot as well, you know, because I did lose weight years ago and it's a journey. It's difficult. It's hard to keep it off and it's hard to it's an identity. It's an identity thing, really, you know, like, who am I? I'm supposed to be broke, but I'm not. And I busted my ass so that I didn't have to be anymore. But you get to a certain point and time goes on and life goes on and the kids grow up and get out of kindergarten and your gray hairs come in and you just don't care anymore. You know, I just don't care. You find new friends, you find new wealthy friends and friends that are good parents. And that's what's important to you, as you know, to me, as I get older, I want to associate myself with like-minded people. It's no different than what you hear. You are the average of your five closest humans, basically. So if you're hanging out with some riffraff, then you're probably a little bit of some riffraff. And now there is a fine line there. If you've got some riffraff from way back in the day, like you grew up with, you know, your neighbor or some guy you were in a band with or something, you know, those guys, there's one or two of those guys you need to keep around, or girls. But you will level up your friends. You will. You'll level up your friends as you go. And you need to find people that can to raise you up in this world and be along for your journey and champion you. You never want to feel like you're doing something wrong for being successful or being going out on a limb, you know, and buying your first short-term rental. If you're sitting around at the dinner table at Thanksgiving and your uncle says, what are you doing buying a rental house? That's the dumbest thing you could do. Your guests are going to burn it down. Then you need to stop talking to your... Now, you can't get rid of your uncle, right? This is family. Family is what this podcast is all about. It's extremely important, but just stop talking about it. If you're in a situation with people that you're stuck with, be happy that you're stuck with them, with family, cousins, nephews, uncles, whatever, and just stop talking about the real estate with them. They're just not going to understand. It's only something like 2% of the United States or the world really that can understand. I heard that. It's an actual statistic. I can't cite where I got it from, but 2% of the America of U.S. citizens, world citizens. Again, I don't know if it was U.S. or the whole world, but 2% of humans can fathom making money off of a home. You know, I don't know if that statistic is right, because it seems in my world, it's like 100% of everybody, right? But, you know, I'm living in a bubble. So, you know, just stop talking about it. You know, stop using your mom's soap, as I like to say. You know, if you're still using the same soap that your mom was giving you when you were a kid, it's time to move on. Let's be a big boy. And eventually, you know, over time, that stuff goes away. They see that you're having success and you're not having trouble paying that second mortgage is not the right term, I almost said, that additional mortgage on the rental home. You know, again, it's probably best to just not bring it up. At least it was in my case. But eventually, you know, if you're super tight with your fam and that kind of thing, and things are going well, over time, you can take over and dominate and be the deciding factor in your family. Let's face it, parents get old anyway. At some point, they're going to stop making decisions. You know you are an adult when your parents start coming to your house for Christmas. That's when it flip-flops. And then they're going to get to the point where they don't even want to make decisions anymore. So if you're in that kind of weird transition where your parents are still in charge, that's going to go away over time. Okay, so just do your best to be, you know, again, and I'm coming from a hot-headed dude that, like, you know, flies off. I used to fly off the handle all the time. And by the way, I'm going to throw a book out there that I've mentioned before, Don't be a dick. Yes, I did not make up that title. It is a ridiculous title, but it was a fantastic book. And it's been a work in progress for me. I've spent many years of my life being angry and mad and PO'd. And I eventually just looked around and said, man, you got everything. What's it going to take for you to be happy? And I just don't think that I knew how. I just think that I was programmed to be a jerk. It was how I was getting by through life. And I think the reason behind that is because I didn't have what I wanted. I knew I was capable of more and being better and having a better life. And eventually you go out there, you either just spend the rest of your life being pissed or you go out there and fix it. And I was lucky enough through a lot of hard work and education and sweat and blood and tears and hammer swinging to be able to fix that problem. And aging parents, and they get older, and my parents just don't even care anymore. What are we doing today? Do we have something to do today or not? They're older, and so things have cooled off, and it's cool, and it's a wonderful life. But my kids got out of school, and I'm heartbroken, is the reason I'm here preaching today about this. And I will say, along those same lines, with the kids anyway, I go to all the stuff. I go to all, like my daughter had a snow cone deal the day before school got out, where they had a snow cone truck, and they asked for a volunteer to pay for the snow cones, and I chimed right in, and my wife did at the exact same time on the school app, and I said, I want to do it. So I paid for the whole class to get snow cones, which was nothing. It was like $40, $60 or something. Of course, I tip big. I always tip big, and bought the teacher a snow cone. I had one myself. Anyway, the parents were invited to this event, and nobody came. It was one mom and me, and that was it. And I was surprised at that. And of course, it was middle of the day. I get it. People are working. They're busy. And then I went to another event with my son. It was last day of school, after school, little get together at a restaurant, and I was the only dad. And I'm always the only dad. It's very interesting that I'm pretty much always the only dad. And I have to imagine that there's other dads out there that want to do this stuff. I do think that there are a lot of dads that think that their place is at work and they just are not supposed to go do the kids' school stuff. I don't know if they think it's a feminine thing to do. And me being a feminist myself, I disagree with that. I think that we are raising our kids with there is no power struggle there between male and female. I mean, if anything, my wife definitely wins that argument. There's something to be said about having a powerful woman in the household, and I'm proud of that. And anyway, I just don't understand. I think that, again, I think there's a lot of these dads that think that their place is at work. And I just, to me, that's old school, man. And I'm, again, a guy with gray hair and wrinkles at this point, but I just don't understand that mindset. It's caveman style. It's old school. Like, dude, take off, go do 1 hour with the kids. You need to be there, be present. I mean, for me, that's the best way I know how to be a good dad, is just to be present. Take them to do stuff, go to their functions. So, real estate, my point is there is that I realize a lot of people don't have that flexibility. I don't know what percentage of the people think that they don't need that flexibility and would rather be at work because that's where they're supposed to be versus can't actually even get out of work because they don't have the flexibility. And I think that's two part for me. Number one, I've never had the non-flexibility. I'm a serial entrepreneur, been an entrepreneur since day one. I had a band when I was 12 years old, and we made cassette tapes. And I funded that whole thing with my paper route, and I sold those cassette tapes at concerts. We had shows at 12, 13, 14 years old, or whatever. And I would go to the mall in my town back home. Go to the big city, 45 minutes down the road, have my mom take me, and I would walk around the mall saying, hey, I have a band. Anybody want to buy my tape? And I would sell it to the people working at the sandwich shop, and they would buy it. So I was only selling it for like $2, and they thought I was cool or whatever. I was a young little kid, and I'm like, here, check out my rock band. So I've been an entrepreneur since day one. I owned my own bar in Manhattan, New York City, when I was 25, and it's been just a crazy journey. I've never had that, have to be somewhere at a certain time thing. Of course, I have had a W-2. I still have, which I love very much, on the radio, on Sirius XM. Give them a shout out on Aussie's Boneyard and Hair Nation. I've been doing that a million years and love it. But there's no time constraints. It is, you know, it's a corporate environment. It's a big publicly traded company, but it's a creative gig. It was almost being like a radio influencer before that was even a thing. But again, I'm just a good old fashioned disc jockey, if you ask me, on the radio. And but that's the most I've ever had as far as structure in the workplace. Other than that, I've been on my own my whole life. I've had two retail jobs, both of which I was fired from in college. I just wasn't capable, you know, but that's a whole other conversation. We'll do an entrepreneur podcast at some point, or maybe on my mastermind, which I would love to have you join. Short-term shop mastermind at theshorttermshop.com. Yes, everything is a damn sales pitch, and I am not ashamed of that. Come party with me. I would love to have you. Let's come up with some cool ideas. Are you having trouble trying to decide which market to buy in? No problem. That's just one of the many live sessions we offer in Short-Term Shop Plus. Everything you need to know about buying and managing short-term rentals from anywhere in the world, right at your fingertips. You'll also get early access to our world-famous Management Monday sessions, live each and every Monday. Don't delay. Turbocharge your generational wealth today. Join us at stsplus.com or stsconsultation.com for a live call with more info on Short-Term Shop Plus. So yeah, I don't know whether it's how much of that is I feel that my place is in the workplace and I'm not allowed to go do these kids. Maybe they think that it's not necessary. I don't know. Maybe there's dads out there that think it's a waste of time to go do stuff like that. And not me. And again, let me get to the point. I'm just so grateful for everything that real estate has done for me. I bought my first house in 2011, maybe 12. So it's been 12, 13 years ago now. I bought my first rental property and I've done everything in the business. I own a bunch of apartments and sometimes, you know, those don't go well and it's a pain in the ass and sometimes they're going okay. And I've had fires. I've been through it all. You know, all those horror stories that you hear about, I've been through. I didn't care. I said, let's go. Let's create some of our own horror stories and learn from them. And I'm happy to teach you everything I've learned along the way. Ready, fire, aim. That's the way I roll. But anyway, again, let me get to the point. Real estate has done amazing things for me, and family comes first. Family comes first. And so make... If I have a point on today's show, I do want it to be that family needs to come first in this whole journey. My daughter, like I said, and my son just got out of a school year, and I'm heartbroken. It's definitely breaking my heart to watch them grow up so fast, and I want to enjoy every single minute of every single day. It's the most important thing to me, and family is so important, and my wife is so important to me, and that's just, you know, I just want to pay that forward, and I happen to have a microphone and a show, so and a big mouth, so I'm talking about it. But thank you, real estate, seriously, for everything you've done for me, even though you've done some horrible things to me. In the long run, it's been a great run, and I'm very grateful. So let me give you some pointers on what we can do to make things better as far as the family is concerned. I think first things first is when it comes to the purchase of the home. You know, you got to be careful with that. I didn't come from money. So for me, the money, everybody wants to know like the secret to buy real estate. You got to have a lot of money to buy real estate. And I say it all the time and people don't listen. They think that there's some sort of secret sauce, you know, but here's one good news, piece of good news. There's a lot of money out there. There's a lot of money in the universe. Okay. So if you're sitting around broke saying, oh man, I wish I was like Luke. I wish I had all this money and all this stuff. And I don't have a lot of stuff, but you know, I'm happy and I got everything I need. But, man, I wish I was balling like Luke. Well, you can be. That money's out there. There's a lot of money floating around in the world. Quick Google search. I don't know how accurate it is, but something like $75 trillion is out there in the universe. By the way, 15 plus trillion printed in COVID. So I don't know if that's, I think that statistic is probably pre-COVID. We're probably over 100 trillion at this point, but I'm just making that up. My point is there's a lot of money floating around in the universe. And if you're tired of not having any, go out there and get it. Just go out there and bust your ass and get it. That's what I did. You know, and I got hungry and I wanted to buy houses and I wanted to buy more houses and I kept wanting to buy. You get hooked on it, you do. And then eventually, hopefully you got enough cash flow going, even if it's only $100 or $200 a property. And then of course you lose two roofs in a month and that sets you back, you know, whatever, 15 grand. That's not fun, but it happens. Maybe 12 grand, depending on the size of the home for two roofs somewhere in that neighborhood. There's $80 to $100 trillion out there. And if you want it, you just got to want it more than the next guy. That's all there is to it. You just got to want it more than the next guy. Go get it. This is all Grant Cardone type of stuff. You know, he's very good at like encouraging you to go get money. I'm a big fan. You know, he's very good. But then you take that money and you go buy a house. You know, that's the hard part, because we want to go to Disney. Do I go to Disney or do I buy a house? You know, and is Disney is the same amount of money as a down payment? I mean, sometimes, right? It's expensive. There are ways to do Disney cheaper, though. Because that's a fine line. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Like, do I want to take things away for, like, if you already have kids right now? I'm lucky. I got into my career and you know, this wealth building before the kids came. And that's where the gray hair comes in. I am a little bit older for being a dad of young kids. But I'm grateful that I got all that nonsense out and like kind of built a foundation of wealth before the kids came. So it's a trade-off. I've got the gray hair and my back hurts. Even though I give it hell, I run every day and I try and stay in very good shape for my age. And I'm a 29-time full marathoner. Not to make this even more about myself, but hey man, it's my microphone. So the fine line between, if you have kids now and you're not yet to that wealthy stage, is my point. Do you go to Disney or do you put that money away for the next house or for the first house? I'm not here to give you advice, you know, on that kind of stuff. You're going to have to sit down with your family and make good decisions. And I would say that take the Disney trip. I love Disney. It's so great. Now, if you've been to Disney once already in the last year or two, maybe a year, then maybe we hold off and put that money away. And if we are going back to Disney, you can do it cheap. You can do it on the cheap. Go rent a house, you know, 20 minutes down the road. Rent a short-term rental. They learn something about how to do that. Maybe you end up buying one down that in that market, and the short-term shop is happy to help you do that. But, you know, there's ways that you don't have to stay on campus and spend $100 on a muffin. Disney is expensive. There's no way around that. But, you know, just find that fine line between the wealth creating and the raising the kids and having the amazing experiences. And just keep in mind that wealth is a slow go, man. Get rich slow with this real estate thing. It really is. Real estate is for wealthy people to spend their extra money. It's really what it is. So you should be spending the majority of your time on, where am I going to get the money to go buy the wealth, you know? What we did was take our sweet time. we learned how to be frugal, took some Dave Ramsey into consideration, which I'm really not a fan of his, but sometimes if you're trying to save pennies, he's the way to go, you know? Anyway, one thing you got to consider is the family happiness level versus the future happiness level of right now versus the future. In other words, a boat, right? Now, boats, I'm gonna tell you, don't buy the damn boat. It's stupid. All right. I don't know anything about boats. I got a little 14-foot John boat. It was like $1,000. That's all I got, you know. And I'm not saying I wouldn't have a boat someday. I used to actually have a subscription to a yacht magazine when I was super broke. I actually like boats. I hate airplanes. So boats, we get along, you know. I mean, they're, you know, I'm not saying I'm in love with them. I have no interest in learning how to sail or, you know, tie a knot. I mean, a little bit of interest, I suppose, but I'm not going to get obsessed with it. I have way too many other things I'm obsessed with, like running and some other things we won't talk about right now. But anyway, the boat versus the rental property is a no-brainer. Don't buy that damn boat. What are you doing? What are you thinking? You had a good year and you got an extra 100 grand laying around and you're going to go buy a boat? No, don't do that. You're robbing from your future self by doing that. You're just, it's going down in value every single minute of the day. You know, there are very few things that increase in value over time, and real estate's really the best one, period. You know, and it's been great for me. So the hard part there is the decisions between today's happiness and the future happiness. Always go for the future. Stack that, put that money in a closet. I don't care where you're putting it. Hide it. Lock it up. Put it in a bank account that you don't know the password to, and slowly save up. Slowly, slowly, slowly. And go buy a damn long-term rental, by the way. It's too much short-term talk around here. I do love my vacation houses. They're wonderful. I've been doing it a long ass time, but I love a good old meat and potatoes 3-bedroom long-term rental. Okay, that's a podcast for another day. But also keep in mind with the family and the kids, as I'm having this some nostalgia with my daughter getting out of kindergarten. Be careful when you're talking to guests, man. There's a lot of people out there who are lawsuit happy. You know, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I've had great luck over the years, but and when this stuff does come, you just say, you know what? I'm a professional. It's part of the business. We're gonna figure it out. But be careful. Don't be shooting mean comments at your guests and getting the platforms involved. You know, always have your family in mind. You know, what's gonna be best for my family right now? I just need to give this guest what they need, get them calmed down, and we'll move on. Mitigate the situation and move on. And a lot of times you can do that by, I know we're getting into some management stuff, which is the name of the show, right? But a lot of times you can do that just by not responding to a guest. A lot of times you just need to let them cool off, you know? So anyway, I don't even know if I had a point today other than my family is very important to me, and I'm super heartbroken that my daughter's out of kindergarten, and it's just an absolute joy to watch her grow up. So with that, I'm gonna get back to the kids, man. Have a great summer. If there's anything I can do to help you, please hit us up. Theshorttermshop.com. I have a weekly mastermind. I'd love to have you join that and come party with me. It's basically a live version of what we're doing right now, but we're gonna interact with each other and ask questions. And of course, I teach Management Monday every week, which is learn how to rent your vacation house. I've taught thousands and thousands and thousands of anybody that you see on the internet. They came and talked to the Reverend. You know, I hate to say that, but I've been doing it for a minute, and I'm proud to be able to help folks, and it really means a lot to me. So anyway, come join us at theshorttermshop.com. Matter of fact, I got a quote for you. Let me give you a quote, which does not really have anything to do with today's topic, but it was a song I was listening to on my run this morning. It's Billy Joel. The things I did not know at first, I learned by doing twice. Love me some Billy Joel. That's from a tune called The Entertainer. Cashflow Carl, short-term rental management, I love you. Don't overthink it.